G'day guys, welcome back to Money in the Tank. Joel Seekchier, Principal Advisor, Harpel FG in the green top, and to my right or left-hand side, whichever way you're looking.
Today I can... Brad Tavone over in Singapore, startup and kind of business advisor. Now that we've launched Laurentium, I can say instead of generalist, I can say business advisor, Joel.
So. Good work, mate. Love it. Fantastic. Thanks for being here today, Brad and Arnie. Is away today, but he will be back next episode, he promises. And he's cursing Optus today because today is the day that Optus went down. So we've got a good 50-50 on that at the end, actually. But anyway, without further ado, where can the listeners find us at, Brad?
Find us on all good podcast services such as Apple, Spotify, etc., and iHeartRadio, etc. And if you want to have a look at Joel and my lovely face or Arnie's face when we're talking, you can jump on YouTube and find us there. We're on all the socials, Facebook and Instagram, in terms of we post the videos up there. But podcast standard channels, and if you want video, YouTube. And please comment and subscribe if you can on YouTube.
Absolutely. And we love your feedback, love your comments. So keep them coming, guys. They're always great to have Q&As come through and we can answer the questions. It's what the listeners might want to hear about. Especially with all the goings on around the world. So today we're going to get stuck into a fair bit of information. So yesterday was Cup Day here in Melbourne, Melbourne Cup, the race that stops the nation. And we had some interest rate changes. So we're going to go through that today. We've got a great Rifkin's rules. We've got a good 50-50 at the end. I'm going to touch on some of the goings on in the markets in America and Australia as to the last couple of weeks where they've had a bit of a run back up. And what's happening with bond prices as well. So I reckon it'll be a fairly short and sharp episode today. Brad, what do you think, 15 to 20?
Hey, 15, 20. And we'll get you a whole bunch of news, important news, pertinent news in that 15, 20.
Absolutely. So without further ado, let's get stuck into RIVs here. So we're going to open up on page 99. That's quite an interesting photo if we can see that through. Can we see
it? No, it's one of the start. Wait a second. No, pull it out. Oh, no, he seems like a young man. I saw it start. Look at him.
So we can sort of just...
Rene, when he was a bit slim.
What did he say? This is the quote under the photo. I used to be thin, but I wasn't happy. I'm much happier now that I'm fat. Rene Rifkin.
Like he said, he looks thin in it. Oh, that's funny. That's gold. That is gold.
He wasn't happy. I'm now much happier now that I'm fat.
Fat. Oh,
there you go.
Look, Renee is going against the health advice, and obviously he's a man that loves his hedonistic lifestyle, and so probably preferred that over anything.
He may have been more alive now if he wasn't fat, though. So I don't know.
That's the hard thing to make the decision on, right? Or he said maybe he thought he was here for a good time, not a long time.
Not a long time. True. mate, so moving on from RIV into our RBA, Reserve Bank of Australia's monetary policy decision. So, I'll tell you what, we've got a shock on the Melbourne Cup Day. Not really a shock. I think it was about a 70% thought of a rate rise.
Don't want to be the guy. I thought they should have gone hard on one more, give it a nice 50 and
Would you say and go a 50 basis point, were you?
Well, yeah, I think we'll discuss today the inflation and the rest of it. We seem to be in this sticky place of inflation. And I know that it's not a something that the listeners probably want to hear, those that own a house or investment properties. I thought we needed probably a because we've paused for a while and we're a little bit behind the rest of the world. I know the Australian economy is different to the rest of the world, but where our inflation rate is at the moment, I'm a big fan of the old Taylor's rule, and where we are at the moment, minus where we're supposed to be times by two, we should be up. The cash rate, should be up in the six.
Yeah, well, I think the IMF, which is the International Monetary Fund, not the Impossible Mission Force, which is Mission Impossible, so they'd get a
confusion. But maybe they should flip at the moment. But anyway, the IMF came out and said,
they've been sort of suggesting that we need to go again and we might be don't want to fall behind. And I guess that's what's occurred yesterday with Governor Michelle Bullock, which is her second meeting. So if we give you some dot points here from what occurred yesterday. So the RBA, the Reserve Bank of Australia, tightened by 25 basis points to 4.35% for November. So, I guess containing that lower inflation in a reasonable time frame is the key driver for them. The outlook, I guess, in terms
of... what a reasonable time frame is, Tom?
I think they said in the notes here that I'm going to go through is that they want to get inflation back to a certain containable rate by the end of 2024. So I'm going to go through and read a few of those. So the market for the Australian Commonwealth government bonds, so a three-year is giving 4.3%, so up about 40 basis points. A five-year is 4.4%. And then a 10-year came down to 4.76 as an expectation of that going backwards or rates decreasing, I should say, in the future. Range is coming down hugely outside just now. So the RBA, I guess, has been patient on rate hikes, for Brad and listeners out there. So they've held the 4.1 steady since June, which is where some other countries around the world or developed countries have gone, a bit higher since then. So the expectations for a rate rise in November were there. In Michelle Bullock's first speech, she did sound a bit hawkish. So this was back in October. She made it clear that the board wouldn't hesitate to raise the cash rate further if there's a material upwards revision of the outlook of inflation, which we did see some numbers pertaining to that. So the Q3 CPI data came in a little bit stronger than expected. So the headline... CPI rose for 1.2 for the quarter, marking 5.4 year on year, and a 5.2% year on year for trimmed mean CPI. So it was a little bit higher than I think they'd anticipated it for it to be. So tweaking the interest rates would hinge on the inflation returning to target. Obviously the CPI print posed a bit of a challenge there for the RBA. And then in terms of the RBA decision. So the meeting yesterday, the RBA decided to raise the rate by 25 basis points, and the policy statement made it clear that inflation remained a concern for them and the need to bring it closer to target. So getting back to your question before, Brad, they wanted to bring it back closer to target by the end, target range, I should say, by the end of 2024 is the main driver. So
target
range is between 2 and 3%.
That's mainly about trajectory then, around can they reach that 2 to 3 by then, based on the trajectory and the kind of the rates and the incremental changes in the CPI. Gotcha.
Yeah, and the board, in quotation marks here, is the board judged an increase in interest rate was warranted today to be more assured that inflation would return to target in a reasonable time frame, which I guess is that end of 2024. And, acknowledging that the activity data has remained sluggish, labour market pressures are gradually easing. It is the sticky inflation that continues to moderate only slowly that presents challenges, especially when house prices have edged higher in the recent months. And then looking forward, as always, future policy adjustments will be data-driven. In quotation, whether further tightening of monetary policy is required to ensure that inflation returns to a target in a reasonable time frame will depend on the data and the evolving assessments of risks. That was the RBA governor yesterday talking about that. So it's interesting that monetary policy might stay a little bit higher for longer around the world. Cash rates are at or close to peak levels, even if we see two more increases. Even term deposit rates have started to fall from peak levels as banks reduce their credit risk, so they've got less needs for deposits. So it's an interesting time, Brad. Any thoughts on the RBA's decision and interest rates here domestically in general?
Yeah, look, if we compare ourselves again, I know the economies are different, but if we compare ourselves to, say, a lot of the EU countries or America, we are about, and our currency has obviously suffered due to, us being at least about 1% behind, 100 basis points, I should say, behind a lot of other countries that have similar inflation rates and unemployment rates and similar economic indicators. I'm not saying that economies are the same because everyone's different. So I think there was a need. I'm a proponent of trying to get it. I think inflation is hurting. I think what we're starting to see is inflation is actually hurting people now that it's run for a long time. We keep seeing year on year inflation going up 5-6%. And I think I thought I saw Joel earlier that the ABS came out with real family inflation is about 9%. in their calculations of what families kind of feel on the, I guess, the bucket list of items that families spend money on. And so I think you're starting to see that hurt more than and the impact on rental and the rest of it. I think that's hurting more than interest rates in a way, because I know that it's a double bucket for a lot of Australians. But there are a large proportion of those people that pay interest rates that aren't necessarily suffering as much as the lower, say the lower third, and they keep driving sales and then the rest of it, and so reducing their disposable income and getting kind of indicating they're going to keep doing it until it gets under wraps, I think is important. I think there's less logistical reasons why inflation is the way that it was compared to the last couple of years, where obviously logistics and supply chains and these sort of things were a big reason. I think we're kind of stuck in a way of just expecting things to be raised now by 5, 6, 7% across the board. And there's some areas like energy and stuff we can't do much about, but really kind of trying to tighten down and reduce the amount is what we're going to do. So that's my thoughts on obviously that. The US halting on Wednesday. And I think, you know, that was the consensus that they were going to halt. We saw them, obviously, the markets jump over there off a horrible week. You said the NASDAQ jumped from about 14.2 up to about 15.3 last week, or 15.2. All the main and the S&P jumped by about 5-6% as well. And there's now kind of a bit of a consensus over there, along with the kind of, they think, a bit of consensus about the war in Iraq maybe being over. They think rate change, a few more things are more known, and the market's kind of pricing those in at the moment over in America.
There's a bit more of a dovish tone from Jay Powell as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, yep. Rather than that standard hawkish kind of approach. And so people have kind of obviously read into that. And, you know, we'll I think the general consensus is that there's probably people starting to feel like they're comfortable knowing what more of the future is looking like, rather than, you know, where we're still heading with inflation or where the Fed's kind of thinking with inflation. So, look, that's my special commentary.
Yeah, and I think there was some job numbers as well in America that they were expecting a higher amount of job numbers to be out, and there was a lot lower figure. So that then, yeah, I guess, added to the economy maybe slowing down a little bit. The producer price input, I think, was down a touch.
I had the unemployment numbers in the US. Unemployment is, they were expecting it to be in the fours, but it's still kind of hovering between 3.7 and 3.8, and unchanged. 0.3% higher than what it was in September 2022. But I mean, you're talking about 0.3% difference in a year. And Australia is sitting at 3.7%. And actually, no, that was Q1, sorry, 3.8. What is the unemployment rate in Australia?
It's about 3.6, I think.
3.6, you are 100% correct. 3.6% for September.
I think one of the other things, there's two key levers that can be pulled during times of inflationary environment. One is what we're seeing with the RBA is their interest rate lever, and that doesn't hit all of the market, because don't forget, you've got your, you know, let's call it your baby boomers and above, that a lot of them don't have debts.
Mortgages.
So it's not going to really slow them down as much. It's not going to impact them as much. So that's when, I guess, the other lever is government intervention. And government intervention comes by way of reducing spend. So reducing spend on big projects is something that I was reading about the other day, that I think the Fed government is currently looking at, and maybe the states as well, about potentially delaying or halting or slowing down certain projects around Australia, because it would be drastically adding to inflation at the moment.
With jobs, especially.
Yeah, all these jobs and all
wage inflation
pressures and increases, because
sort of skill gaps.
As a nice, easy example, if you've got a big tunnel project in Victoria going on at the moment, you've got a lot of commercial trades going in there that are getting paid, you know, above and beyond what a normal market rate would be. They're going to go there, which means there's going to be less on the domestic or the local side of things, which means they're going to require more from payment per job because they can demand more because the supply is not there, because you've got this these government jobs that are going on that aren't necessarily a long-term thing, but they're a short-term to medium-term thing, which then pushes the market up in that area. Mm-hmm. And it kind of then creates this sort of false economy of a supply-demand issue where this wage price pressure occurs. So if those jobs start to slow down, then you start to see those trades or those materials or those things come back to market.
Less discretionary spending, less takes, you know, a lot of those big projects as well, Joel, have like for construction have bonuses associated with like the tunnels or Snowy 2.0 or, you know, a lot of these big infrastructure projects because they're working in certain conditions, the rest of it. And so if you reduce and take that out, you know, it is 11% of the workforce or whatever it is, works construction, let's just call it 4-5% of the population work on these probably major projects. So for the listeners, there's obviously monetary and fiscal spending, which is the government side of the equation, which is definitely, I think the government's got to play a much, much bigger role in stopping the kind of the constant inflation spiral that we're in.
Yeah, they've got to lead by example at this current time because it's probably no more important time than now to have some fiscal sensibility about why they're spending and what they're doing and what can wait and what can be pushed back a bit
longer. That is the hard thing, right? There is some infrastructure projects where, like, it's related to our energy targets or our signed up, you know, overseas stuff, and there's, you know, all massive logistical stuff which is going to be opening up our economy. But then there is obviously projects that are there that are important, but it could wait, as you said, Joel, for times that probably need it a little bit more.
Wait and see.
I remember we had a graph on last year of all the infrastructure spending, and it was peaking between 2023 and 2025 from like 2018 or 2017. It showed like all the layered of all the projects, and it was like, and the demand that was actually having on our resources. So, yeah.
So we might bring that back in the future in episodes to talk about what projects the government may look at delaying due to that. So, yeah, I think it'll be very, very interesting. I guess just before we round out the episode, just to touch on the markets, Brad. So I've got a couple of notes here in terms of the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ. So the S&P, as of today or last night, rose for the seventh consecutive day.
Last week was a biggie.
Yeah, first time since its 8-day win streak reached in November 21. So it's the best consecutive day streak it's had since then. And the NASDAQ posted 8 days of wins for the first time since an 11-day streak back in November 21. And the Dow rose for the seventh session, its longest streak since July. So, super interesting with the market movements at the moment. The tech stocks moved higher as the yields pulled back. So some of those 10-year Treasury bond notes have pulled back to around about 4.6%, 4.56%. I think they got up to about 5% only a couple of weeks ago, Brad, from memory.
Yep. So everything, basically, the market bottomed around the 27th of October. And part of that was obviously market uncertainty around rates and wars and everything. Another reason was it's mutual fund close in the United States is 30th of October. So they kind of get rid of all their taxes and all the rest of it, and then they start, obviously it's not in the mutual fund's interest to not be in the market. So any cash reserves they had, they're putting back in. But, you know, a big part of it is due to these things that we're talking about, and the market's getting a little bit more concrete. And so they bounce back off lows of S&P low hit 41.17 on the 27th of October, so, you know, month end, and we're sitting at 4.378, and the NASDAQ 100 is sitting at 15.296, and that bounced off a low of 14.1. So, you know, and these growth stocks, I guess the outlook looks like we're going to, you know, largely in the States, what the markets are kind of saying, especially for the growth stocks. It wasn't just your Magnificent Eight either. Like, you know, there's a lot of stocks up 15, 20, 30%, like DoorDash and stuff like that for the week. And there's kind of some thought that some money is returning back into growth stocks because the market's now seeing that we've probably peaked interest rates, and there'll be, like, the market over the next, you know, medium term will probably include some rate cuts is what the market's kind of putting in. And when the rate cuts, it's a more favorable environment for growth stocks.
Yeah, so I guess on the back of that, markets are very good at future predicting what they think is going to occur from an interest rate perspective in this circumstance. So growth stocks, as you said, love it when interest rates are coming down because it makes it a little bit more attractive for them for their because they rely on heavy borrowing, don't they, Brad, to be able to rely on their valuations and whatnot too. So
Basically,
and
the cheaper money is, the higher multiple they give, because yeah, the growth stock, you can put more money into things at a cheaper rate.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the Australian market had a bit of a 5-day run, and that's an interesting thing in itself, is it had a 5-day run and then it was going negative on Cup Day in the anticipation of the rate decision. And then interesting, when the rate decision came out, the market actually sprang up a little bit. So it boded well for the Australian market, I think, in terms of the broader economy felt like it needed another bit of an injection, another bit of a hit to consumer spending and consumer confidence and whatnot leading into the Christmas period, so that inflation didn't get out of control. Because the downside risk of inflation getting out of control again is not a great downside risk to have. So the short-term pain of having an interest rate hit like we've had, there's probably plenty of people out there that aren't loving it. I'm not loving it. It's not great, but it is what it is. And it's to the betterment of the economy in a whole over the medium to long term, as opposed to the short term pain of what we're going to cop from an interest rate, whether it's just one now, one in December as well.
I think inflation affects the whole economy, and it can get run away. And if we get a situation where it repeats and then people start losing faith in things,
Not good.
then they will generally jump to more dire kind
Not
of
good.
actions and reactions. And then the market hates reactions, right? It likes to know where things are kind of
Bit of
headed. So
stability, yeah, a bit of consistency, a bit of stability, and yeah. So anyway, so we'll see what comes of it. Look, the banks will pass it on. People will cop a bit more of a hit leading up to Christmas, but it's for all everyone's betterments to try to slow down the spending a bit and try to slow down those projects to enable inflation to come back so that the genie doesn't stay out of the bottle or get out again. And then we can potentially get back to some normality come second half of 2024, where potentially they might start talking about cutting of rates. And I think that's where they're at in America, is predicting that maybe second half of 24 that may then transpire into Australia as well. So
I
yeah,
did.
we'll keep you posted on that. Brett, any
And
closing
only other bit of
words?
news, just really quickly, is I've noticed in the paper that Albanese met up with Xi Jinping, China. Massive, massive,
Yeah.
massive. Seeing as they, China is our, we did an episode on when Morrison asked for an investigation into COVID, and China slapped on a whole bunch of import bans. And how much of the economy China was, and I think the impact they thought they were going to have versus what they actually had. But our trading partner of about 37% of our trade, so it's sizable. And I don't know what that is now. That was what it was. But I think they met yesterday, and some, I guess, some warm words from Xi Jinping. I don't know if you saw it, John.
Yeah, they were trying to what from what I read, trying to repair some relationship there. China are obviously trying to get back into Australia as well, and maybe they're feeling that a change of government is going to bode well for that relationship. And I think I read in the notes, and I'd agree with it. It's important that Albanese doesn't say that we were wrong or they were right. It's
100%.
more about, yeah, because you don't want to be then succumbing to bully tactics in the future.
No, and look,
Because
the upside to that was Albanese turned around and said that unless they there was, I think, two or three prisoners back from 20 China releases prisoners. But basically Albanese said, listen, we're not gonna say sorry about the COVID stuff. I'm not even going to meet up with you until you actually release those two or three prisoners. And so they released them on the 18th of September ahead of this meeting. They said the meeting wasn't even going to occur. So I think it's very, very important that we continue being ourselves and not the little kind of guy saying, please, please come trade with us again. If they want to trade with us, to trade with us on good terms.
yep, absolutely. It's got to be a win-win for both sides, I think.
Great.
So hopefully that bodes well for Australia and the economy, because yeah, China is a big trading partner of ours, but I think we're very important to them as well. So I think it
I
goes
think
both
that got found
ways.
out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So No, great to get a bit of a quick episode, a turbo episode through to the tankers. As we've said, any Q&As, any questions you have, feel free to get us. Brad, where's the best place for him to get us at? Socials?
Socials, so, you know, Facebook, Instagram, or comment and subscribe on YouTube. You can't really comment and subscribe on the other podcast places. You can download us and listen to us, which a lot of listeners do. But if you want to interact, socials, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram.
Lovely. We look forward to hearing from everyone, hearing from the tankers, and we hope that you've enjoyed the market update episode today and also the interest rates as well. Without further ado, as we promised, a 50-50 at the end, all because we've got many different investment choices out there in the world, but we've also got many different life choices as well, like choosing which phone provider you want to be with on a day when Optus is out completely. It'd be too easy of a 50-50 for me to say, would you choose Optus or Telstra? What I might say is I was thinking as I was driving in today to an appointment, thinking, geez, I haven't got Google Maps today and I don't have a Melways anymore. I feel like I'm back in the 1980s, even though I was only in the 1980s for about 6 years and, had the experience of home phones and things, but now a lot of people don't even have home phones anymore. So what would you...
My niece laughed at me. So she was at... we were staying at a... I rented out a house down in Phillip Island. And my niece is 8 as well. So it's not like she's only like 4 or 5. She's 8 and it was a war phone. And it wasn't even like an old war phone. It was just a normal war phone. And she was like, what's this? And I'm like, it's a phone. She started laughing. She's like, no, it's not. I'm like, it is. Look, it's the same, just bigger. She's like, no. I'm like, what's your mum's mobile number? And I typed her mum's mobile number and I said, go get your mum's phone. And like connected. And she just started, she lost it. I was like, oh no, I'm old.
It's a big deal. So if you had to go out with without something for a day, Brad, would you go without text and phone calls or would you go without the internet? And with a caveat to that, you couldn't use the internet for WhatsApp or Messenger. It'd just be searching and maps and maybe some other things I've thought about.
Could you do music?
You could do music too, yeah.
Okay. Honestly, it's going to sound really bad. But I'll go to the internet. I'll pick the internet. I don't think I'll go without it. I can go without it, have done it overseas, the rest of it, but I think I get a lot more. I utilize the internet a lot more for day to day living, both business and personal life. Phone calls and SMSs.
I'd agree with you, mate. I reckon I actually enjoyed the quiet peace today without the text messaging and the phone calling.
I think the WhatsApp sold it to me, taking that away.
So I think, mate, just bit of maps to get me where I'm going, bit of music.
Bit of Spotify in the office.
Yeah, looking up somewhere to go for eat for lunch on Google, then I'm happy.
And no phone calls.
No phone calls, yeah. So there we go. We both agree. Internet it is for the win.
Internet for the win.
Listeners, keen to hear your thoughts, feedback. Obviously, the 50-50 of Optus versus Telstra is an easy one today, so we didn't bother going with it. But I'm sure I'll wait for my sorry check in the mail from Optus to say, sorry, we went without. We'll cancel your bill for the month. I'm sure that won't happen. But anyway, great to chat.
I'll give you the day, mate. I'll give you the day. I'll refund you like $4.91 per customer or something.
Thank you. Love it. Yeah. But always a pleasure, Brad. Listeners,
pleasure.
Hope you enjoyed our Turbo episode and we'll be back from next week onwards, bigger and better. And we'll no doubt have another special guest coming up to talk all things money. Look forward to chatting to you guys soon. Over and out. Peace.
Over and out. See you guys. Peace.